This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
And off we go for another outstanding, I hope, hour of the Rob Brown Show right here on The Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, as we roll through the four most electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment you are going to find anywhere on the radio from 6 till 10 on weekdays, if you ask my mom. We got a lot to get to. We've talked some college football on the radio program today. We're going to talk some NFL football on the radio program today. We've got to talk World Series. We got into it very briefly at the beginning of the show. We will return to that. The Jays get a win last night. They head back to Toronto. They've got two to win one. The Dodgers must be perfect in O Canada if they wish to go back-to-back World Series championships. I'll break down game 6 and 7 for you as the show and the week progresses, because we still do technically have one day. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is 8 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday morning, and you know what that means. That means it is time for us to take a little road trip right on down the road to Columbia, South Carolina, home of the University of South Carolina Gamecocks. And that is where we find a young lady who covers the athletic department of the Gamecocks for the Greenville News. That is where we find a young lady who does excellent work doing so. That is where we find the lovely Lulu Kesson joining us here on the program. Good morning, Lulu. Have you recovered from what I have to imagine was a bit of a disappointing Saturday evening in Columbia, South Carolina?
Absolutely, it was. Definitely very heartbreaking vibe around Columbia that night. Good morning. I'm good. I'm extra tired today, but I'm happy to be here. Thank you, as always, for having me.
Of course. The pleasure is ours. Let's dive right in, Lulu. Let's time travel. 88 in the DeLorean back to last Saturday. The Gamecocks in a game. They end up with a lead. They end up with an 8-point lead. And then the wheels came off. And I will start with the question that was kind of at the heart of the debate that we had on Monday. Lulu Kesson, in your opinion, was that more South Carolina found a way to lose the game, or Alabama found a way to win the game, or is it somewhere in the middle?
I think the easy answer would say somewhere in the middle. The reason why I honestly lean a little bit towards Alabama found a way to win was because this is an Alabama team that has a very, very high-performing, productive offense that was, in my opinion, a little underwhelming for three quarters. And yes, I do think that South Carolina shot itself in the foot at different times throughout the game. But to me, particularly the defense that in my eyes had been absolutely stellar all game, sort of allowing one touchdown in the last minute to tie the game. To me, it looked like, okay, this is a gas defense that played their you know what off deep, you know, for 50, pretty much the entire game. I think Alabama kind of just hit a different notch and sort of dug, and credit to them, a really, that was probably the loudest I've heard William Bryce all season. Obviously South Carolina is known for their stadium, and I'm not saying that they've had bad fans before then. It just, it kind of kicked it up a notch with homecoming, and credit to Alabama. I think they found a way to win.
So I've heard that a couple of times. Let me give you the thought to the contrary. I actually do lean more towards South Carolina ended up losing this game more than Bama took it from them. And here's my justification, and I want you to tell me, Lulu Kesson, am I overthinking this, or is there some merit to it? On the defensive side of the football, I thought for the majority of the game, South Carolina was doing a good job making sure they held the edge, keeping Ty Simpson in check, not allowing the running backs to be the escape. I thought basically they said, look, if you beat us with mid to long throws, so be it. It is what it is. But we're going to make sure that Ty Simpson getting out of the pocket and extending plays doesn't beat us. And we're going to make sure the running backs aren't there for a bunch of easy dump offs all day. I thought it worked out. On the offensive side of the ball, I think they finally cracked open the playbook and started doing what I've been begging them to do for a number of weeks now. You utilized Lenora Sellers. You started using different blocking schemes, adding different blockers, bringing guys in from the slot and lining up as a wing back, but inside the tackle. Like, there were a lot of different looks that we haven't seen out of South Carolina to throw Alabama off defense, off their rhythm when South Carolina was on defense. But then in that fourth quarter when the game was on the line, it's like they kind of went back offensively to what they were doing earlier in the season, including on the play that Lenora Sellers ended up fumbling and giving the ball to Alabama for them to go win the game, which was, we're just going to run the quarterback off center again, something that has not worked all season long. I felt like, Lulu Kesson, South Carolina panicked a little bit in the fourth quarter. We didn't expect to be in this spot. They kind of panicked. They regressed back into what they did that didn't work, but they were most comfortable with, and that's why I walked away from that game disappointed.
I agree with that. That is 100% accurate, and I think that's a very that's a total way to explain, yes, South Carolina did lose that game. And, you know, I understand the number of timeouts they had was different at the time, but, like, it was not the same level of confidence or looked the same level of sort of like, okay, we're going to take this as the Missouri game, which was a pretty similar situation where they go and score late, and then South Carolina gets the ball back with a chance to win the game, and they go 70 yards down the field and score. I think that obviously it's an underperforming offense compared to last year, even compared to, you know, everyone else in the SEC right now. But to your point exactly, I think that South Carolina didn't have that level, even same level of aggression from the first quarter as they did in that moment.
Yeah, that was the big problem for me, was I just thought that there was a change in what they did that worked and went back to something that had not been working through the course of the season. That being said, we did kind of see vintage Lenora Sellers. We did kind of see the Lenora Sellers that we saw towards the end of last year that put him on the Heisman watch list. We saw him escaping a lot of tackles, being damn near impossible to bring down for Bama in a number of spots, making throws on the run, etc. My only question now is, you saw it work against Bama. Now you've been in a tough spot, and you've seen the result of getting away from that. Do you think that against Ole Miss, do you think for the remainder of the season that Mike Shula will go back to that? Because, again, when the pressure cooker got turned up, I think he went away from it. Do you think that we will see this Carolina offense more open moving forward? Because I got to be honest with you, that's the only way that I see this team winning more games down the stretch.
I'd argue you have to. Yeah, I think that it's exactly to your point. Like, that's the only way this team has a chance in a lot of these games. And to be honest, it has to be a step in the right direction. I obviously, a lot of people have thrown in the towel in terms of fans saying, all right, this season's over, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to get, you know, people have their opinions. People can decide to give up on a season whenever they want. It's their own choice. But I do think that Alabama was at least a big enough leap in a positive direction, very far from where they want to be, very far from satisfied. But if it's not, if this Ole Miss game and this Ole Miss performance, regardless of how good Ole Miss is, South Carolina, if they're not taking a similar step forward, I think it's really bad news.
So let's talk then about this. So actually, let me take that back. I want to ask you one more thing, because this came up a little while ago in the program, Lulu. I was talking about head coaches and I believe that we have entered this new era of college football where the most important thing a head coach can be is authentic. And I think you look at the best head coaches around college football, they're all authentic. They can be whatever their personality is, but they must be authentic. And I think Shane Beamer has, over his time at South Carolina, been wildly authentic as a coach and as a person. But over the past, I really think, 2 weeks, And you're obviously way closer to the program, covering these press conferences in person, having the one-on-one conversations, et cetera. But it feels like there's a different vibe from Shane Beamer to me. And I can't put my finger on what it is. I don't know if it is frustration with where they are, desperation because, you know, you're starting to hear the fans start to chirp about maybe there's a change coming. And there have been over the years rumors that Shane Beamer may be a little bit short-tempered and just good at not showing that in front of the fans in the media. I can't put my finger on what it is, but I have felt a bit of a change in Shane Beamer when he is out in front of the cameras, out in front of the public. Have you gotten the same vibe? Has that discussion taken place between the journalists covering the squad, or am I making something out of nothing here?
Sorry, I just want to clarify. You're saying that you're feeling like he's being less authentic as of late in front of the camera?
Yeah.
Or did I get that wrong?
Not necessarily less authentic, but just like the personality feels different. And it may be authentic in that he is desperate or he feels frustration, or it may just be that the mask is coming down. I don't know if the Shane Beamer we've always had has been a cover for this one, or if this is just Shane Beamer who is in a spot where he's never really been before because the expectations were higher and he's not making them. And now there's, like I said, fans are starting to chirp about needing changes and he may be included in that conversation. I don't really know. I guess that's what I'm saying is I feel a vibe change, Lulu Kessin, but I can't really put my finger on what it is.
Mm-hmm. I think overall, I mean, maybe this is a hot, like kind of a dumb take, but I think that a lot of people didn't necessarily realize what rev share would do to athletics and what it would do to recruiting. And I think that every coach right now is sort of dealing with this added layer of a constant reminder that the game that they all knew and the game that they signed up for is changing. That on top of every other coach seems like, you know, Shane pointed out the other day, he was like, I don't know enough about the Brian Kelly situation to comment on it, but, you know, LSU fired Coach O 2 years after winning the national championship. Dan Mullen was fired a year after going to the SEC championship. Like, he's well aware that that athletic departments can turn on you in an instant. And I think that awareness is probably going to maybe, I guess, turn into some type of, I guess, visual. It's easy to tell when someone's kind of on edge. That said, I don't think that there's been a huge difference. I think he was very much himself on Tuesday, laughing, joking. And I know people might, like, I saw a comment that was like, year 3 and 5, you have nothing to smile about a player. And I was like, we've lost the plot. And if you think that telling a 19-year-old they're not deserving of happiness just because they, barely contributed in this case to a loss, then you're not going to get a winning team with that mindset or culture. So I do think Shane is overall himself. Last year they won their last 6 games. And so I didn't see, honestly, from, let's see, October 12th to December 12th, when they didn't make the playoffs. Like, that was the happiest Shane Beamer, kind of no reason not to be. And it's just been a while since he's had some reasons to be upset. And I'm still getting used to that because it was sort of like a misleading first year where both, someone joked, like, my friend who's a journalist got here in August and he's like, I think I kind of was, just didn't understand, you know, Clemson and South Carolina, I get here and they're fighting for playoff spots and I didn't realize that wasn't going to happen every year. But that's all to say, I don't want to ever tell anyone, oh, you're making something out of nothing, but I think that he is still his authentic self, maybe just stress is coming out in weird ways.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like I said, I can't really put my finger on it, so that may be what it is. I'm really intrigued to see what happens, and obviously a lot of that is going to be predicated by a little roadie down to Oxford, Mississippi, to take on a top 5 Ole Miss running Rebels team. Yesterday, Lulu Kessin, I was listening to Lane Kiffin do a press conference getting ready for this game. And, you know, love Joey Freshwater. Dude's absolutely hilarious. But from the perspective of a football coach, I found his press conference very interesting because when asked about preparation for South Carolina, he gave about a 3-minute answer. But, and I may be reading too much into this, but it sounded a lot to me like Lane Kiffin said, if you stop Lenoris Sellers, if you stop the quarterback, and he talks specifically about how he's, you know, he's hard to tackle, he's hard to bring down, he can throw on the run, and all these different things make it pretty tough to stop him. And of course, they've got Trinidad Chambliss, who we'll talk about in just a moment. And then he talked about the other side of the football, and he specifically was mentioned the defensive line, but was obviously calling out one or two specific players in that spot. It sounded to me like Lane was pretty much saying, if we can stop Lenoris, and if we can slow their pass rush down, we're going to win this game. What's your reaction to that, and what are your thoughts on what South Carolina will need to do to pull an upset a week after they had Alabama on the ropes, playing a team that is very good, but not quite as good as Alabama, which makes it feel winnable to me?
Easy answer, but execution in the fourth quarter, obviously that's something that Shane harped on, and it's easy to be to say that after the Alabama game specifically, but, you know, Ole Miss blew a lead to Georgia. I'm not sitting here saying South Carolina and Georgia are the same football team, but it's, you got it. When you're in these situations and you're the underdog and everyone's counting you out, you have to look at every little thing you can take advantage of and kind of poke at. And although Ole Miss is an incredibly disciplined team and Lane Kiffin is a really, really great coach, particularly one that can make in-game changes and just coach a game and a difficult game really well, it's tricky and it's going to be a really tall task. But at the same time, if South Carolina plays with the amount of energy and the edge that they had from start and just kind of reverse it and finish it, I think South Carolina can compete.
I agree. I do think that this is, for somebody who last week said, South Carolina fans, I wouldn't waste my time watching the show because I think Bama's going to blow you out of the water. I actually feel like this is a game that you can win. And it starts for me with, and again, we mentioned him a moment ago, Trinidad Chambliss, who is kind of, you know, he took over the starting role midseason, has really kind of come into his own. I've referred to him a few times as the Ole Miss Lenoris Sellers. It is a similar game. I don't think he has the arm talent Lenoris does, but he is an able-bodied runner. He's got some power to him. That being said, it kind of, to me, Lulu, feels like that really is what is going to win or lose the game for Ole Miss. And if that is their number one strength, it obviously matches up well with South Carolina's number one strength defensively, which is the pass rush. I will say, what was done to Ty Simpson last weekend must be done to Trinidad Chambliss. And if it is, I honestly think South Carolina's defense is good enough to slow down the Rebels. And then it's just going to be a matter of, does Shula open the offense back up, or do we regress back to screen, run it up the middle, punt?
Incredibly well said. Exactly. And South Carolina's defense, to exactly what you're saying, has been really good at disrupting really great quarterbacks. And I think that if, you know, they're on the upward trend as well. I know they've been obviously a little bit more consistent and they've performed better overall than the offense. So it's not just up and down, but South Carolina's defense, they forced turnovers. They had some big ones. They had like 4 interceptions that they should have, in my opinion, caught. And Clayton White was pretty honest. He was like, we got to be able to come down with those. But they were just incredibly disruptive to Alabama. And like you said, it's up to the offense. If the defense plays like that again, Lenoris and his unit, they have to be able to put some points on the board.
I hate to say this, Lulu. I want your thoughts. Last one, and we'll let you get back to your real life. This is a game that if I felt like I trusted Mike Shula to play the way that, to call the way that they called the first 3 quarters against Bama, I honestly would call for the upset here. I think that the strength of South Carolina's defense matches up well with the strength of the Ole Miss offense. I think what you saw South Carolina doing offensively last week against a very talented Bama defense will work even better against Ole Miss. I want to call the upset here because I think the matchups actually favor, to some degree, South Carolina. But I can't do it yet because I don't trust Mike Shula. Like, that's where I am with this program right now. That being said, what are your thoughts and reaction to that? And what is your prediction for Saturday?
I say, yes, that's fair. I know I hate having to print predictions, and it's tricky. I feel like I'll probably print Ole Miss wins by 3, but I would not be surprised if South Carolina wins by a touchdown. I was wrong last week. I said, whoever wins this game, I don't think it's going to be super close, because my friend was like, it could be like a field goal. And I was wrong. It was tied with 2 minutes left. So, I mean, Ole Miss is, it's one of those where I kind of have the same feeling right now that I had going into the Texas A&M game last year, where the record was not great for South Carolina. Things weren't necessarily going well, but I was just kind of like, I kind of feel like they're going to win. And I, against Oklahoma, I said to myself, they have to win. I didn't have that feeling. This is a little different. I just sort of feel like they're at a point where a crazy upset kind of has to go their way.
Yeah, no, that's the boat I'm in. I feel like with what happened last week, this team's got to be desperate. They're got to be hungry. I know the players are in a spot. You've seen that in their press conferences. Like, they want to get it fixed. To me, this game, like, I think it is very winnable. I think the matchups are there for South Carolina. It really just comes down to, is the offense open back up like it was for 3 quarters against Bama, or is it shut down and it goes back to what it was the previous 6 games before that? Lulu Kessin covers the South Carolina Athletic Department for the Greenville News. She is kind and gracious enough to give us some time every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. to talk about the Gamecocks. Lulu, are you going down to Oxford, Mississippi?
Yes, I have a crazy day. I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia tonight for a women's basketball exhibition, and then tomorrow I'm driving from Atlanta to Tupelo, Mississippi. Ooh. And then on Saturday, I'm heading over to Oxford for a game. Sunday, coming home. Monday, season opener for basketball.
The good Lord, lady, you're going to need a freaking nap. All right, I am going to hit you. When you are down there, there is a spot in Oxford called the Oxford Grill House. Promise you, if you go, it'll be worth your time.
Okay, yeah, wait, send it to me.
Done.
I'll forget the name, but yeah, perfect.
Done. You're the best. Enjoy your trip. Good luck. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Lulu Kessin, Greenville News. Appreciate her time every Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk Gamecocks with us. All right, since this is going to be a short segment coming up, because we gave a little extra time to Lulu, because dang it, she deserves it, and she's very good at her job. When we come back, South Carolina fans, with me or against me, I think this is a winnable game. I think the matchups favor you. I think that you've got a lot of opportunity, and on top of all of that, I think there's a very good chance that this might be, and I don't like using this word, but this might be the trap game for Ole Miss. This might be the one that they overlook, because, hey, you are not a winning football team, and granted, it's the Citadel next, but maybe they've fallen asleep after two straight ranked games in the SEC, and 3 out of their last 4 against top 10 teams. Is there a chance here? And if so, is it only Mike Shula that could derail it? Because to me, the answer is, yeah, obviously. We'll talk about that when we come back. The Rye Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
South Carolina on the road, taking on the Ole Miss Running Rebels down in Oxford, Mississippi, coming up this weekend. There is one thing and one thing alone that is prohibiting me from feeling pretty good about calling this an upset alert. I would absolutely love to put this game on upset alert. Because again, as I mentioned, I don't think it was the case that the matchups, unit versus unit, were in favor of South Carolina against Alabama. And yet, you were in that ball game because you broke out a bunch of stuff nobody had seen you break out before. I don't know why you waited till that point in the season to do it, but you broke out a bunch of stuff nobody had seen you break out before. You changed up the scheme. You changed up the play calling. Defensively, you recognized what Alabama's strength was. You took it away from them and said, hey, look, if you beat us with the weak elements of your game, so be it. You beat us. But we're going to take away the parts of your game, your offense, that are best. And Bama spent 3.5 quarters not being able to beat that. And then again, and I'll tell you, it's not this past Saturday. It's not that I'm disappointed in Mike Shula. Because I think disappointment effectively means that someone did not live up to expectations. The reality is, the expectations for me from Mike Shula were not very high. This is why I said on Friday, I don't think this game is even going to be worth watching. And we got a texter, we got a caller, Dre, who called the show. And Dre said to us, look, I think that we can pull it off because we have Lenoris, we got a good defensive line, good pass rush, yada, yada, yada. And I said, I agree with all that, but here's the problem. If you have a Ferrari, but you leave it parked in the garage, what good is having a Ferrari? Like, that was my problem with Shula calling the games. And the thought that I followed that up with was, why would I believe that something that has been consistent in a pattern for 7 weeks is suddenly going to change in the eighth? Why would I believe that after 7 weeks, especially when you've had your back against the wall after the last couple, that suddenly something is going to change? Tigers don't change stripes. Leopards don't change spots. Gamecocks don't change feathers. Why would I believe that that is going to be the case? I don't know. So, it was the case. That is what happened. Offensively and to some degree defensively, although I think you didn't really have to change much defensively. It was really just tactics within it. What I saw last Saturday, I think matches up exceptionally well with Ole Miss. The strength of your defense is, as has been mentioned a few times, the ability to hem the quarterback in the pocket and not let them start running free. Now, Trinidad Chambliss, different type of cat. This dude is the type of dude that, much like Lenore Sellers, though not quite as talented, this is the type of dude that, like, you are going to have to wrap up tackle. And dating back to the Mizzou game, when I'm on Hardy ran wild on you, brother, dating back to that game, this is a South Carolina defense that, unfortunately for you, has gotten lazy and tried to arm tackle sometimes. And I'm going to tell you, this is a cat that can beat you with the legs. He put up 112 rushing yards against Tulane, 71 against LSU. He put up 53 against Oklahoma, 62 against Arkansas. He can get you if you arm tackle, if you play discipline. You don't have to, you wrap up, you wait for the cavalry. You can slow him down. He's had a couple of games. Washington held him to 15 rushing yards. Kentucky held him to 13. It can be done. So I think the matchups genuinely favor South Carolina to put this game on upset alert. I just have one problem. And I guess this is kind of an illustration of what has been frustrating me for your football team this season, Gamecock fans. I genuinely believe that the issue that you are facing is once again play calling. Because if we see, and it wasn't even necessarily like exotic plays as far as moving the football around the field. It was different blocking schemes, and it was different guys lined up in different spots doing different things. I brought up on the show three or four times, you're probably tired of hearing about it, but I can't tell you when I saw this play happen in the first quarter how excited I got about the rest of that game, despite the fact that I thought you were going to get hammered in that game. Slot receiver lined up wide out to the right. Lenoris puts him in motion. He comes all the way across the formation. He goes slot left. When the ball is snapped, he cracks down to the defensive end to hem that defensive end. Your edge is now here. You don't get to widen the edge out with Lenoris. Crack down. The offensive tackle chipped him until the slot receiver hit the end and hemmed him in. Then he pulled around the outside, got to the second level, went and found the linebacker. And then at that spot, it was Lenoris Sellers coming off the edge. And I don't remember particularly what he did with the ball with that play, but the point is, in that spot, you can do three things. The quarterback can keep it, get to the next level. The quarterback can pitch it, get to the next level. Or you can run a fake option, have a tight end, backside wide receiver, near side wide receiver on the curl. Somebody get out into space and force the cornerback to make a decision. Cornerback comes up to attack the football. You drop it over his head. Cornerback drops back to take away the pass. Lenoris just keeps it and goes. I love that play because it was utilizing. It wasn't about what Lenoris and Faison and whatever wide receiver would do, kind of running a football triangle offense there. It was about the fact that I hadn't really seen that blocking scheme utilized, and now you're doing it, and the defensive end and linebacker were just completely confounded by it. Like, they did not react well to that. Saw a couple of times where guys were coming from the slot, going into motion, but stopping behind the guard center. And just acting as effectively a second-level offensive lineman in that spot. Thought that that was art. Loved that. But then in the fourth quarter, you got away from it. And then in the fourth quarter, you just started going back to, well, what if we just run Lenoris off guard? Same guard that has been getting his ass beat all year long. Same offensive line that has had, I believe now, five different starting lineups over the course of the year. Why not just run back into that? The matchups work. The matchups work in a way that I would look at this team and say, this is an upset special for me. This is a game that I would look at and I would say, I don't know what the line is right this minute. I'll find it during the break. But if this line is 3.5 or better, like South Carolina plus 3.5 or better, I would take that line right now. I would take that line. I might consider a little sprinkle on the outright upset if that's like a plus 275, 250, something like that. But that's not it. That's not my issue. That's not my problem. My problem is, do I trust Mike Shula not to blow it if it is a close game? Do I trust him not to revert back to the things that he has been doing for the entire season so far that he didn't do for three quarters against Alabama but then did do in the fourth quarter against Alabama, you know, when Alabama scored two touchdowns unanswered, won the football game? I don't. I don't trust him. The only reason I have to pick Ole Miss right now is because I am afraid that the game gets tight and Shula reverts once again to making Lenoris Sellers play like Drew Bledsoe instead of the Lenoris Sellers that had Alabama in a hole in that game. We'll talk more about that coming up later on. We'll set up some more of the college football games. I got some audio I want to play for you. All that and more coming up as we roll on with the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Michael from Simpsonville has texted the show on the Hub City Spartanburger text line, 844-326-3663. Michael said, Rob, the first three quarters had Sean Elliott's fingerprints all over it. The fourth, Mike Shula's incompetence, end quote. That's from Michael in Simpsonville. Appreciate that text, Mike. I find that interesting because I don't think you're wrong. I don't know that that thought necessarily hit me because I would like to think that a lot of what was run in that game was in the playbook. But for one reason or the next, like, we just didn't want to break it out and until it was too late in the season to, you know, necessarily do anything other than fight your ass off to make a bowl.
So you don't
game.
Think that maybe that the reason why they did it there is because because of matchups and things that they thought they would work with?
I don't know. I think that's a theory, but I don't know what level of matchup you thought worked for you against Alabama that didn't work against Missouri. I don't know what matchup you think was going to work for you against Alabama offensively versus their defense. What matchup you thought you had that all would make the difference against Alabama but not Oklahoma the week before. And I certainly don't know why, if that was all in the playbook already, why it is that once you took your second or your third loss, and you go, okay, now we're not fighting to try to be a three-loss team that buys a playoff ticket. Now we're fighting to make a bowl game. Like, bowl ineligibility is a real possibility at this point. Why would you have not broken that out a game or two ago? I don't know. I just don't feel like that is the way that it would have worked for me. Granted, I'm just a big idiot, but that's kind of the way it felt to me. And I was like, I don't know what this is all about. So we'll see. We'll see if we genuinely get the first three quarters, and if we get Michael from Simpsonville texting us back and going, there it is, right? Because if we get, I'll put it this way, Mike, if you don't mind me calling you Mike. If we get the first three quarters of Alabama against Ole Miss, and specifically if you do that and you win the football game, which I think if you play first three quarters via Alabama against Ole Miss, I think you can and will win the football game. If you win the football game, and you do it by doing what you did in the first three quarters against Alabama, and if somehow, and I don't know how, but if somehow it was to get out that Sean Elliott was indeed running the offense, whether it's the coordinator or the guy who installed the playbook, if it gets out that was Sean Elliott, then my question is, how does Mike Shula see another day? How does Mike Shula see another day as the offensive coordinator of the South Carolina Gamecocks? That's my big question about that spot. If I see three quarters of Alabama, and then I don't see anything else after that, and it gets out. Like I said, we talked about this earlier in the show. I said one of the reasons that you cannot be an a-hole of a coach and be successful in college football anymore, in my opinion, is the fact that college football coaches cannot control the narrative like they used to. There are elements of it you can control. We talked about Dabo Swinney being the perfect example. Dabo Swinney can control the narrative on his radio show by not allowing callers. But what happened literally the first time he tried to control the narrative by censoring the radio show? Tyler from Spartanburg, right? Or excuse me, Tyler from Spartanburg called in. And if Dabo doesn't close the listenership, because I think it was like, wasn't it the week after Tyler that Dabo said no more callers? I think that was it. Tyler from Spartanburg has now become like a thing in the story of Dabo Swinney. No matter what happens the rest of his career, if he goes on to win a bunch of championships after this, then everybody's going to say it was Tyler from Spartanburg that started that. And if he goes on to never get close again, everybody's going to say, should have listened to Tyler from Spartanburg earlier than they did. You can only control the narrative so much. And stuff is going to get out. Like, it just is. Because, again, every time that you add one more person to a secret, the possibility that that secret gets out exponentially rises. Exponentially. This is the number one reason that I do not believe that the NFL is rigged. Because it would take massive numbers of people to be able to pull that off. And it would take one person with a receipt to blow up America's biggest sporting league. One text, one phone call, one recorded message, one guy writing one book and proving the NFL is rigged, the whole thing blows up. I don't think it's rigged because I don't think you could pull off that level of conspiracy. I don't think it's possible. So, with all of that being said, I would be interested if we see the offense we saw for three quarters come out against Ole Miss, and especially if they win the game, somebody in that organization would look at that and go, why would we want Mike Shula to stick around if Sean Elliott's the guy who installed all this and it worked? Why would we want that to happen? And if that was the case, that's going to get out. It's going to have some smoke to it, I think. So that is one thing I'll be paying attention to based on the results of this game. And if I see you guys go right back and revert back to the offense that got your asses handed to you by Oklahoma, cool, I'm done. I will be done. I will not be just be done with this season. I will not just be done with Mike Shula. If the same offense comes out and gets blown out by Ole Miss, and I'm not even saying you got to win the game. I'm not even saying you got to make it close. You just got to show me that like you're making adjustments in reaction to what is happening week by week on the football field. If I see the same thing and the same things happen and it goes back to the team that got blown out by Oklahoma, by Vanderbilt, etc., if all that goes down, I have to tell you, I will be in here on Monday, and for the first and only time that it has happened so far, I would have to say, I think Shane Beamer is officially hot seated. I think Shane Beamer, I'm not saying you have to fire him this offseason. I'm saying I better see a guy who busts it to make some changes on that coaching staff and in that athletic department by next year. Because if he doesn't, I will have a real problem at that point. All right, since we talked some South Carolina, let me answer this question. Dewey texted the show and said, if Clemson loses to Duke this weekend, do you feel that would mean a change in Clemson would be needed? Dewey, I already feel that way. I already feel that way. Let me tell you the change I think needs to be made at Clemson. I've already said this a few times. Clemson is a nepotism program right now. The overwhelming majority of the coaches on that staff are former players, Dabo's buddies, guys that are and gals that have relation with people in the athletic department. That staff is. This is not a I think. This is a statement of fact. That staff is a nepotism program. And that was okay when you got Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson and yada, 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 and you were just really good. But if you're going to be a team that's fighting to be bowl eligible in a year where you had championship expectations, yes, I think the nepotism angle has got to go. I think there are two things that need to change primarily regardless of the outcome of the Duke game or the season at large. Number one, I think the nepotism culture has got to go away. I think Dabo Swinney needs to focus less on, let me get guys in here who I know and who love the program, and more on, let me get good coaches. Let me get coaches who have proven themselves. Let me go. And you did that for both your coordinator spots, Garrett Riley and Tom Allen. But as I've said a few times, I think there is one more element of that, and this is change number two. I think Dabo Swinney's got to trust coaches. I think he's got to let go and trust guys to do their job. And the argument I make is there is, in my opinion, no bleeping way that Garrett Riley is not handcuffed to the radiator right now. There's just no way he's not handcuffed. There's no way. Because if you spend 5 minutes watching, the offenses Garrett Riley was coordinating at TCU, and then you spend the last 2 years watching Clemson's offense, it's not the same. It's not even not the same. It's not even similar. It's not even, it's like, okay, well, it's a, you know, it's a TCU shade, but they kept the Clemson offense. No, it's not. It's the same as it has been at Clemson for a very long time now. I think Garrett Riley's handicapped to the point that I have and will again openly ask the question. Was Garrett Riley hired by Dabo Swinney not to be the offensive coordinator? Was Garrett Riley hired by Dabo Swinney as an answer to the constant barrage of criticisms of Dabo needs to stop promoting Dabo guys, Streeter, Godwin, etc., all Dabo guys? Does Dabo need to stop elevating Dabo guys into coordinator positions because none of them work? And I think it is a very fair question to ask, did Dabo go hire Garrett Riley not because he believed Garrett Riley's offense would come to Clemson and change the game, but because he just wanted a brief respite from the, I think, loudest, up until that point, loudest criticism of Dabo Swinney, which is, you're a nepotism program. Every guy is just a guy that you've elevated. You have yet to, like, go out and try to find the best guys. You just find the guys that, well, they love the Paw. They love the Tiger. They love Clemson. They love the campus. They love the stadium. And that's why they get the job. That's not a reason to give a guy a job. If loving something is a reason to give a guy a job, I'd be the head coach of the Saints right now. That's not how it works, right? So, regardless of the outcome against Duke, I already think changes need to be made. Now, if Clemson does lose to Duke, I would say this. I think it's a complicated scenario because, and I've said this to you since the preseason, Duke's a good football team. Are they elite? Are they championship caliber? Are they Indiana, Ohio State? No, they're not there. But they are maybe, as far as like talent on paper goes, maybe the most talented team they've ever had. And it does revolve primarily around Darian Mensa, their quarterback, a portal guy, got paid what? I think he was almost at Carson Beck amounts of money to quarterback at Duke. But it does revolve around him. And when he's playing good football, Duke's a good football team. I don't trust Manny Diaz. I don't think he's proven yet that like he learned what went wrong at Miami and has fixed all of that now to be the head coach at Duke. Here's the other thing that I think makes this interesting. Penn State's looking for a coach. I do not think Lane Kiffin's going to Penn State. And I don't think that any of the old guys are coming out with one exception. I actually think there's a chance Urban Meyer goes to Penn State, but that's a different conversation. If he doesn't, I think Matt Rhule, I'm not saying he has, Matt Rhule may have eliminated himself from the conversation by getting his asses kicked by Minnesota. I think he might have taken himself out of the conversation, which means that if Lane Kiffin's not going there, Penn State is on the hunt for a new head coach. Do you know who's been mentioned as a potential suitor there? Manny Diaz at Duke. Manny Diaz's name is in the hat for Penn State, which means that if Manny Diaz wants to go to Penn State, and let's keep it a buck, with all due respect to the Blue Devils, why would you stay at Duke when Penn State comes a-calling? If Manny Diaz wants his name at the top of that list, winning games is how you do it. And even if it's not a good Clemson team, beating Clemson for Duke is a big thing. That's a highlight reel mark, right? That loss that you guys took at Duke a few years ago is still probably the biggest win in recent memory, maybe long-term memory for the Duke Blue Devils. So I think it is very possible Clemson loses this game if Darian Mensa is on top of his game. And the reason the conversation is complicated is on one hand, if you are Clemson, the expectations are we don't ever lose to the Duke Blue Devils. On the flip side, the conversation is complicated because this might be the best the Blue Devils ever had been. This might be the best Duke Blue Devils team of all time. And it's again, largely because of Darian Mensa, who might be the best quarterback they've ever had. Daddy Dimes. But outside of that, he's in that conversation. This team has taken two losses to top 12 teams, one loss to Tulane, who is very much in the discussion of a playoff spot as the G5 rep. The Tulane loss isn't great, but it was on the road, and it's against a pretty good Tulane team. I'm not saying Duke is great. I'm saying Duke's 3-1 in conference right now. I'm saying it's a respectable team behind Darian Mensa. So on one hand, do I think that's like, oh, that's it, we lost to Duke, Dabo Swinney's got to go? Not at all. Do I think it's, we lost to Duke, and now we have to ask the question of why? Absolutely. So I'll answer your question this way, Dewey. I already think things need to change. I think the nepotism has got to stop. I think that the coaching staff's got to be wiped clean. I think there's a couple of guys you keep. Obviously, Tom Allen. Honestly, I don't know about Garrett Riley. Now, I don't think it's Garrett Riley's fault. Like I said, I think he's handcuffed. But at this point, if you're Garrett Riley, and that is true, he probably wants out anyway. So I think you keep Tom Allen. There's like a couple of position coaches that I like, but I think the CJ Spillers of the world got to go. I think you clean out everybody that's a Clemson guy, and you go around the country, and you hire the best position coaches available, and you pay them good money to come to Clemson to get it fixed. That is the thing I think has to be fixed. Then the second part is, how much more desperate do we get if you lose to Clemson or if you lose to Duke? And that will be answered by, how do you lose to Duke? If they blow you out of the water, and that's 45-17 at the end of the game, yeah, we're having a real tough conversation on Monday. If it's 27-24 and Darian Mensah goes off for 275 through the air, 85 on the ground, four touchdowns responsible for, and you go, that was just a baller balling, probably a less intense conversation Monday. I know that's a lot going on, but let's be real. Football does not exist in a either-or binary world. It's all complicated, and it's all based on what is happening in real life. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in the final hour of the show, a couple of sound clips about college and from college coaches I want to play for you. Got an NFL situation I find really, really interesting, and I'd like to circle back around to that conversation about Jeff Landry, the governor at Louisiana, getting involved with those LSU Tigers. We'll talk about all that more in the final hour. Now, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax. If you smoke, grab a cigarette because you're going to need it after Lonzo's Sports Flash.
Stop it. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry told Assembled Media yesterday that Athletic Director Scott Woodward would not be involved with hiring LSU's next football coach. Landry did not provide a plan for who will make the pick, but did meet with LSU officials at the governor's mansion Sunday. He also openly criticized Woodward, who hired Brian Kelly as well as Jimbo Fisher during his term at Texas A&M. The Toronto Blue Jays are one win away from their first World Series title since 1993 after a 6-1 win over the Dodgers last night. Rookie Trey Yesavage dominated, throwing seven innings and allowing just three hits while striking out 12. Toronto had nine hits, including a Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s eighth postseason home run and four other players recording RBIs. The Detroit Lions have signed a four-year, $180 million extension with edge rusher Aiden Hutchinson, which includes $141 million guaranteed. Hutchinson is guaranteed more money than any non-quarterback in the league.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.